It's always interesting to see what the lectionary does to us and how it overlaps real life events. So to read, "A house divided against itself cannot stand," in the weeks leading up to General Convention has resonance. For those of you who aren't following General Convention and the Episcopal Church in the broader sense, let me just say shortly that this may be the time at which the Episcopal Church seems most divided. If there is any point in time in which all of the otherwise perhaps settled or things we can set aside differences sort of bubble and percolate up and become bigger, it is in the time leading up to General Convention, when the national and church-wide body comes together and we sit down together and try and figure out how we will live together for the next 3 years. So we seem very divided. We are less divided, I choose to believe, many days than we often seem in my email inbox, but we seem very divided. And as many of you are people who have spent a long time around churches, you know that a church can often be very divided. And Jesus tells us, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And we know that he is right. We have seen that. Houses divided cannot stand. They splinter, history tells us, and instead of one house, you get two houses. It's a great religious studies joke, I know. Two people meet on a bridge, and one of them is suicidal, and they discover they have something in common. They are both Baptists. I hope anyone who's a Baptist in their history forgives me for this. This is a great bonding moment for them. And then they discover that, furthermore, this their history, they're the same type of Baptists. Baptists tend to split a lot. They're with each other right up until the most recent split. And then the guy who is there to save the suicidal man says, "Die, heretic," and pushes the other one off the bridge. It's very funny. And a little disturbing all at the same time. But this is part of our history as religious people. We agree with each other right up until we don't. A house divided cannot stand. Except, of course, that is exactly what we are called to do. We are called to stand with those we don't agree with. Those of you who have spent time with Family Promise know that one of the things we are asked to do in that is not to try and convert our guests, not to try and convince them that we are the right group of hosts or helpers for them, but just to be there to support them, to be united in the fact that they need a little help at this time in their life, and that for now, that is enough. And our hope in that as Christians is that sometime when they need help in a different way, they will remember that we were there this time, that this will have been enough to maybe help change their perception of Christians as only those people on the street corners who yell and shout. I just saw one the other day and shuddered. It's an instinctive reaction by now. And the fact that Family Promise is working in Helena is proof that sometimes we can set aside our differences and be a house divided many, many times that works together. If you keep reading in this passage, Jesus goes on to say, much can be forgiven, except for one thing. It's interesting, because if you read all of the Gospels, this is really one of the only things Jesus condemns this strongly. He says, those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, there is no way to return from that. That is a problem. That is worth condemnation. I spent some time really thinking about that, because Pentecost, remember, was just a few weeks ago, and you have to love Pentecost. We have General Convention coming up, and we just had Pentecost. There are a lot of different people talking about what they are called to do and to say to the church, to our church, our great church, which spans continents and states and a wide diversity of opinions, all of which you can usually find in small churches, in medium-sized churches, in large churches, in dioceses, among groups of clergy, including the group I was with this week. It was really funny watching everyone else figure that out. But we can be together when we choose to be together and acknowledge that some of our differences, because we need to listen to how the Holy Spirit is talking differently to each of us. So remember on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and didn't endow all of the disciples like a cycle of different languages. They didn't all start speaking in Greek and then in Egyptian and then in all of these other strange languages. They all started speaking in a different language. It was this great cacophony. They had sat down and tried to converse with one another. None of them would have understood each other right of way. They would have been as confused as the people watching them who looked at them and said, you all are drunk. And it took Peter standing there